right heads. God, we come to you asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion and nurture the bonds of community, and grant us your grace as we make decisions that will affect the residents of Curie Beach. Continue to remind us that all we accomplish here should be for the good of the entire Curie Beach community. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We don't have any recognition of awards. Approval of consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. We have a couple changes, I think, Craig. You were going to add under new business.
Yeah, I would like to talk about ROT problems and I would also ROT issues.
Okay, ROT issues, and it'll be number 5 under new business, or you're going to put under old business? Which?
New business.
New business? Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda as changed?
Make a motion to accept the agenda with number 5 under new business.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. So the agenda is adopted. Discussion and consideration of presentations to council. Now, is John here?
Randy Monson is here for John Earth.
Well, we'll skip over him, John. If you'd like to make your emergency management presentation, you're welcome to do it now.
Sure.
David, you're going to go up and accept the award? John is?
John.
Okay.
He did most of the work, right? You want me to go through or you want
to? Well,
whoever.
It is my honor to present a plaque to you tonight. I'll explain why it is probably a pretty big deal. It's the plaque, and I'll read a little bit first, but town of Curie Beach has been in the National Flood Insurance Program since 1982, and obviously there's a lot of good reasons why you want to do that down here at the beach. Of course, primarily it's an insurance program that allows your citizens to be able to carry flood insurance. But the work and the higher standards that the town has incorporated and is administering is to be commended, because actually you go beyond what FEMA's minimum standards are for standards and specifications in the National Flood Insurance Program. And for that, you're not only protecting your citizens with higher standards, but you're also allowing them to save insurance premium money. And that's a pretty big deal. So I've got a little thing that I want to read, but again, the bottom line, and there's a couple things I'm going to say in the speech, but I want you to be aware that you have almost 1,000 flood insurance policies in the town that carries with it over $250 million of insurance coverage through the National Flood Insurance Program. As a participant in the National Flood Insurance Program, that's a big deal, I think. The community rating system is a component of the National Flood Insurance Program that recognizes higher standards and things that communities do to try and advance both the awareness of risk, flood risk, and also advance the awareness of flood insurance to try and protect citizens and their communities and make them more sustainable. So you are now in the CRS program as a Class 8. There are 11 different activities that you have achieved 1,114 points for. So you've done a lot of things that are good, and for that reason, I'm here on behalf of the state and on behalf of FEMA to commend you for that work. I'll go ahead and start reading after the script. The town of Curie Beach began participating in the National Flood Insurance Program January 6, 1982, making flood insurance available to its citizens and property owners. Since entering the National Flood Insurance Program, we've seen the town of Curie Beach make meaningful advances in the administration and enforcement of its floodplain management program. The result of these increased efforts is a safer, more disaster-resilient community. In the early 1990s, FEMA decided to recognize communities for exceptional efforts by reducing flood insurance premiums through the Community Rating System, or CRS. A list of activities related to floodplain management and a credit-based point system was established. communities receive a 5% discount for each class that they advance from a class 10, where there's no discount, to a class 1, where they get a 45% discount on insurance premiums. Starting May 1st, 2015, the town of Green Beach was awarded a class 8 rating, distinguished itself as one of a very select group of North Carolina communities that have achieved that rating level. Today, there are 985 flood insurance policies in force in Curie Beach. That represents more than $259 million in flood insurance coverage. Policyholders in the special flood hazard area can now receive a 10% discount on their policy premium, which is an average savings of $133 per policy. Policyholders in the lower risk zones of Zone X are eligible for a 5% discount. So in total, policyholders realize an annual savings to the town of $36,243 because you do participate in the CRS. Town of Curie Beach in the CRS program is implementing basically 11 different activities, including obtaining and maintaining elevation certificates for structures, providing map information services, conducting education and outreach, providing flood hazard disclosures, providing flood protection information and resources in local libraries, providing flood protection technical assistance to property owners, having an open space preservation program, implementation of higher regulatory standards, maintaining flood hazard data, stormwater management activities, and floodplain management planning. So on behalf of the state of North Carolina and FEMA Region 4, we recognize and commend the town of Curie Beach on its continued efforts towards outstanding floodplain management. The town's actions will result in a community that is more resistant to flood damage and more resilient. Congratulations to the town of Curie Beach on its achievement of Class 8 CRS rank. So I would like to...
John, would you please go up and take that?
There you go.
I want to make a comment here about these 11 activities. John Batson, you virtually took that on single-handedly, and I want to recognize the work you did in saving this money for Carolina Beach. For Curie Beach.
Does anybody have a camera or a phone?
He just took a picture.
It is a big deal.
And it was a lot of work.
You're in an area that obviously has considerable flood risk, and the higher standards. The National Flood Insurance Program is one size fits all nationwide. So if you're in Kansas or if you're in Alaska, you've got the same standards. Recognizing that you have a higher risk, you take on higher standards, which is to be commended, and there's a benefit both in terms of the short term and the long term. So obviously, congratulations.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Could we have a copy of your speech?
Certainly.
You can just give it to Nancy.
Yes.
Because we'll send it to Willard Nancy with the picture.
See what Willard says.
He'll put it in the paper.
He'll do it.
I mean, that's an average of $160 to every family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Very kind.
Are you going to stay with us for the rest of the meeting?
He's going to jump in the water.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Good job, sir.
Good one, John.
Good job, John.
Charlie, you're next.
I'm going to complain about something. That's way out of shape. I mean, off the wall, they seem off the wall. I think we better stop being concerned about the federal government's intrusion, as far as I'm concerned, into city departments, namely police departments all around the country. I think the executive branch is sort of overshooting its authority as it relates to the Constitution and the way the Constitution was written. Now, I realize that states create laws that may give the administrative branch more power than what the Constitution does. Personally, I think this is wrong. We're in a condition right now where a lot of our police officers feel like They're between a rock and a hard place. There's no such thing for a police officer as a routine call, a routine stop. They're putting their life on the line anytime they stop a car, anytime they go into a environment where they're interrupting a family condition. Forget the terminology for it. And we're getting to a position where a lot of police officers are saying, I don't want to react to something unless it's really going to create a danger. I don't think we need to be getting into this position. And the only thing I can see to shortcut it is for every community in every state and every county, anyone that's taken the oath of an elected official, to complain to the state and to their representatives at the federal level. Because if this gets out of hand, it's going to be a real problem. And I don't see any easing of the conditions that are being created. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Discussion and consideration of committee business, Board of Adjustment, Community Center Committee, Marketing Committee.
The Marketing Committee will be presenting the marketing budget at next month's meeting.
Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, I'd like a motion to reduce the number of members from 6 to 5 to facilitate a quorum. Michael, the boy that was the head of the Parks and Recreation Board, seems to have a problem about getting there, so I think it would be better ran if we could just reduce that by one.
I make a motion that we reduce the membership on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board from 6 to 5 members.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission, short-term rental complaint tracking.
We were tasked at our last meeting with looking into this. We are still researching it, and we'll report back at y'all's June meeting after our June meeting. We all come back together.
Thanks.
Are you working with the police department as well?
I've spoken to Chief Cooper.
Okay.
We need to get some more information to him.
Okay.
So we'll have all that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection and Parking Committee. Nobody? Discussion and consideration of Department Head Business, Administration and Recreation Department. A, Department Head Evaluations, Ms. Avery.
It's that time of year, again, for Department Head Evaluations. So you need to schedule aside for a closed session. You have 6 department heads this time. If you look at half an hour for each, you're looking at 3 hours minimum, 2.5 to 3 hours.
When do they have to be done, though?
June, before the end of June.
So before the end of June, right? Okay.
The 16th.
You have a calendar, you have a June calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy, while we're looking at that, since the finance officer reported to you for a good portion of the year, I think you ought to. You ought to be part of that review.
That'd be a good idea.
Steve just picked it up. When, Steve?
Last month.
So, do we want to do that the day of the 16th, before the 16th meeting? I can get time off if you guys want me to. Y'all want to do it that day?
Is that for me?
You want to just start that morning?
16th.
You want to just start that morning at like 9?
Is he free?
9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he wasn't
free every day. It's
I'm home the day anyway, so I figured I'd sleep in.
Ooh.
Whichever way you want to go, Steve, right? So you're
going to have to.
Really
lunch.
I'm fine. You want to start at lunchtime?
Yeah, could we start after lunch?
Fine, I just want to make sure we got time. That's fine. Like you guys want to start at 1?
1 o'clock for board evaluations.
Okay. 1 p.m. on the 16th, Nancy?
Got a motion?
I make a motion 1 p.m. on June 16th.
Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thanks.
And can you send that out as a scheduled meeting? Thank you.
Date and meeting location for the next breakfast, Beach Town breakfast.
It's our turn to host the breakfast. We said they were going to be quarterly, but they haven't really have been. They've been more like 6 months and sometimes 8 months. I'm suggesting that we look at July, hopefully by the General Assembly and Congress will be out of session during the term of recess. You also have a July calendar up there.
You're talking about late July?
Yeah. I think, you know, if the legislature goes over in its budget, it would probably be better to have it later in June.
Yeah, that'd be my guess, so you won't see them.
Like what day of the week is it normally on?
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Maybe between.
So like the 24th or the 31st? I'm okay with either, whichever one you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Have I got a preference?
No preference.
Mm-hmm. You want to check with the 24th, Nancy? With the other beach communities?
Okay.
July 24th?
And then maybe if a majority of them have a problem, we can consider the 31st.
And that's from 8 to 10? Is that normally?
Yes.
8 to 10.
Do we need to make the motion?
I make a motion. We have the town clerk reach out to the other communities to see July 24th for the beach breakfast and then recommend a location. I guess we do the community
yes.
center?
Second.
That was my next question. Do you want to do the community center or do you want to?
Community center.
Yeah.
It's a consensus.
Yeah.
There you go. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Cool.
David, Nancy, for you? Okay. Arlen? Finance Department.
Well, it looks like we're having a hard imagining technical difficulty.
It was working, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it started to update it, so.
Oh.
And you didn't get up.
Didn't hit that fast.
You didn't. Just boom.
Oh.
Can I ask you something while I was doing that? In the past, we've only invited the beach towns and the state and federal representatives. The last meeting, the county commissioners were also there.
Okay, either way, I don't know. Do we know why they did that?
I suppose Blair's a nice guy. Didn't want anything about 17.5% brought up.
Come on, park it out here.
No, wait.
You see it?
Just expecting. No, I'm serious.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Arlen.
Sure, you can invite him.
Can we skip to the building, the inspection department while Arlen's getting the computer
yeah.
working?
Yeah, that's
next. Make a motion we move to the building inspection department while Arlen's getting the computer squared away.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right.
Building inspections department.
Go ahead, so we can get out of here.
I was the...
Did you have something?
The only thing that I'd like to say is that we were at the Ports and Waterway Department, Ports and Waterway meeting this past week. And Leighton Bledsoe, the county sandman, took it upon himself to say that John and the Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach individuals who were working on the requirements for our beach were doing an excellent job. So, John, I thought you should hear that. I thought it should be public record. You're recognized by the county sandman.
Thank you, John. He mentioned that you finished before the other two, and he really appreciated it.
Well, that's one job.
The building department and the fire department are the same, huh?
No.
No, you can.
Three.
Now, if you
want to.
Thank you.
On here.
Oh. Sorry.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, they're not.
Okay. Fire department?
No. We're back in.
Oh, we're now?
He's ready.
Very
yeah.
good.
All we right. just moved one person, building inspection.
Okay.
So you're good. Under
control. Yeah, you got both
three. Yeah, you got it updated. Okay.
There you go.
Okay, what I'd like to do is present to you the proposed fiscal year 2016 Fury Beach budget. I'm going to start with just some general things, some state requirements. First, just to let you know, the budget proposal is in accordance with General Statute Section 159-11. All sections of the budget are in conformance with the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act. As required by General Statute 159-12, a public hearing must be held, and that's currently scheduled for Thursday, June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Once this budget proposal is accepted tonight, copies will be available for public inspection on both the town's website and also here at Town Hall. And we have to have either a balanced budget or an interim budget adopted before July 1st of this year. This is a little more general information. It's really the budget proposal consists of the following three components: the budget message, which summarizes the budget, provides key highlights, and identifies significant differences with the current year. The second is the draft budget ordinance. This shows budget revenue and expense by fund, also some information regarding property taxes, salaries, changes to the fee schedule, and some other statutory requirements. And then third is the draft fee schedule. This just shows the fees charged by the town for various services. So those three items are the makeup of the actual budget proposal. The budget's actually based on information obtained at our annual retreat in January and the budget workshops held in April. And the budget does support the goals that council established at their January retreat, which are, as you see on the screen, resolution of outstanding issues related to the Sandman properties, develop a short-term and long-term space plan for town departments, maintain the current tax rate if possible, develop a long-term plan for funding beach nourishment, including one new funding stream independent of property taxes, prioritize potential dune infiltration projects, review, decide, and implement the salary study and any potential salary adjustments, and finally, monitor potential revenue shortfalls that may occur in future years. So with that in mind, this actually is the overview of the proposed budget. It is balanced, and it totals $6,552,069. And it really is comprised of the seven funds that you see there, with the general fund being the largest at a little over $4 million, water and sewer fund at a little over $1.8 million, stormwater fund at about $491,000, PALPO fund at $64,000, beach protection, $50,000, federal asset forfeiture, $50,000, and the sewer expansion reserve fund at $22,635. What I'd like to do is kind of go through each fund and kind of focus more on the highlights for each fund. Detailed information is available if anybody would like to take a closer look, but I'll kind of just hit the highlights for each fund. So we'll start with the general fund. I guess some of the key things are that the tax rate will not change. It remains at 26.15 cents per $100. There's no general fund fee increases. There's no increase in the number of full-time personnel. The budget does include a 1.7% cost of living adjustment and a 3.3% merit increase pool, and that's for employees performing above expectation. It also includes some salary adjustments resulting from the 2015 salary study, and for the general fund that totals $29,393, which is represents about 0.7% of the total budget. The budget also includes capital expenditures of $121,000, includes a $50,000 transfer to the Beach Protection Fund, a contingency of $133,684, and finally, it's actually 6% greater than the 2015 budget that was passed last year. And a lot of these we'll cover in a little bit more detail as we go on, but they're kind of the highlights for the general fund. So we'll move on to general fund revenue. So this chart shows the revenue sources for the general fund. And there's really, if we just focus maybe initially on the top three, which are property taxes, sales tax, and garbage and recycling fees. Those three items make up 81% of the revenue for the fund, which is a little over $3.2 million. In particular, property taxes is the single largest source, and we see that's about 53% of the revenue for the fund. And that is estimated based on estimated tax base information obtained from the Denver County Tax Department. And that estimate was for Curie Beach property is $819,500,000. And that's an increase of about $6.8 million over last year. And also what factored into the revenue determination is the collection rate, which has averaged about 98.75%, which is very good when compared to the rest of the state. Most of the other items on there are pretty self-explanatory. There is a caption called Other Revenue. The most significant items included in that caption are the sales tax refund that we get that's estimated at about $30,000. And then the ABC revenue that we get and Bureau of Mine Tax revenue. So those three items make up about 88% of that other revenue total. And the last category, other financing, is installment loans that we'll get for capital purchases throughout the course of the year. No, if anyone has any questions about revenue for the general fund? This also relates to revenue, but it shows the budgeted 2016 revenue in comparison to the actual from 2014 and what's been estimated for the remainder of 2015. So it really shows kind of how consistent the town is. The largest fluctuations really are in other revenue and other financing sources, and that's because other revenue was impacted by transfer from the Water and Sewer Fund in 2014 for the Oceanfront Park settlement. And other financing sources for 2015 was an installment loan for the purchase of three vacant lots. A little over $409,000. And very demonstrates very much how consistent the revenue sources have been. Next, we'll move on to the expense side of the budget. And again, I'll kind of highlight maybe the top five departments, or largest five, and that being the police department represents 30% of the budget, streets and sanitation represents 18%, fire department is 12%, administration is 10%, and debt service is 7%. And those five departments, like I said, are 77% of the expense is for the fund and represent a little over $3.1 million of the $4 million total for the fund. There also you'll see a category, third from the bottom, called Other. The two most significant items included in there are tax collection expense of about $25,000 and community center operating expenses of about $18,000. So in regard to expenses, I'd just like to kind of comment a little bit more on a couple points in regard to expenses. The first is what I mentioned earlier in the highlights, that the budget includes a 1.7% cost of living adjustment for all full-time employees. And that's consistent with the increase implemented by the Social Security Administration in January. And then also the 3.3% merit increase pool, and again, that's for personnel performing above performance expectations. And rather than repeat these for each of the other funds, these same compensation changes are included in the Water and Sewer Fund and Stormwater Fund. So I also mentioned there was a salary study done in 2015 that was to evaluate the town employees' salaries in relation to that of other municipalities of similar size and providing similar services. Town Council has decided to implement a strategy to evaluate the salaries of employees who were 6% or more below the benchmark for each position. And that's what resulted in the salary adjustments of $29,393. We'll also mention as part of the governing body budget, the town council budget, there's some funding to outside organizations. And we'll just kind of quickly run through those. There's $8,800 to the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce for their concert series. $3,300 to the Volunteer Fire Department for the Curie Beach Christmas Show. $2,000 to the KDB Hines Senior Center. $1,100 to Island of Lights. $1,000 to the Help Center of Federal Point. And $1,000 to the Federal Point Historic Preservation Society. So those total $17,200, which again is kind of consistent with other views.
Arlen, where's the inlet fee?
That's the next item. Also okay. Included in
the okay, all right. I didn't hear you mention it. I was just curious.
It is $5,000 for Carolina Beach Inlet dredging, which we've been requested also included in our budget, as in the past. The general fund debt service is budgeted at a little over $294,000, and that includes payments on existing loans for the Oceanfront Park, town hall renovation, downtown improvement project, the vacant land that was purchased, vehicles and equipment. And that totals, that's about 7.3% of the general fund budget. Also, capital outlay, which that means it's actually capital purchases with a useful life of 2 years or more and costing $5,000 or more. That totals $121,000 for the general fund, and it really is within three departments. For the fire department, it's $25,000 for a used pickup truck and equipment, $84,000 for the police department to replace three vehicles. And for public works, $12,000 for replacement of a gator. And the majority of those purchases will be made using installment financing. Another thing different with the 2016 budget, and this also carries over to the Water and Sewer Fund, is that administration and finance, which previously were budgeted as two departments, are now split in, or as one department, are now split into two departments. So that just means moving personnel costs for employees performing finance duties into the finance department, along with other finance-related expenses like audit fees, bank fees, sales tax, and a couple others also. This budget also includes a transfer of $50,000 to the Beach Protection Fund. That fund is for beach-related expenditures, and ultimately, maybe for beach nourishment costs, if the town would need to fund some of that. And I'll talk about that fund just a little bit later. And finally, the contingency within the general fund, that's really an amount set aside for unanticipated budgetary needs during the course of the year. State statute allows it to be up to 5% of your budget. In this case, it will be at 3.4%, still very healthy contingent amount. So does anyone have any questions on any expense items?
You didn't include anything in there for the attorney?
In regard?
For his salary?
Yes, it's in the legal section.
Okay. Andy?
Come on. Go ahead.
Oh.
Sorry.
All
right.
Any other questions on general fund expenses? This is a little bit hard to read just because there's a lot of information, but it shows the percentage of expense that each department is in relation to fiscal year 14, 15, and then the budget for 2016. And here you do see some fluctuation, but it really relates to the amount of capital expenditures that there are in any given year. And one good example is that within administration for 2015, that's where we actually recorded the purchase of the three lots that we bought, so that's why that is much higher. And then also legal expenses for 2014 related to the Oceanfront Park. So before I move on to the next fund, is there any questions or comments about the general fund?
No. Nice job. That's cool on the budget.
So next we'll move on to the Water and Sewer Fund. And I kind of take the same approach and just go through some of the highlights and then go into this in a little bit more detail. But number one, the budget does include proposed changes to the existing water and sewer rate structure. It includes $112,000 for possible infrastructure projects and $90,000 for capital expenditures for equipment and truck. Also includes debt service of almost $110,000. Does include transfer of $50,000 to the Water and Sewer Capital Projects Fund, and that's for a water line replacement project that will take place during the course of starting in 2016 and maybe move into other fiscal additional fiscal years also. I had mentioned the salary study. The portion that relates to the water and sewer fund is $8,690, which represents 0.5% of the total budget. And then this one, when we look at this budget in relation to last year, it's 15.9% greater, and that really has to do with the amount of capital expenditures and also the transfer to the water and sewer capital projects.
Bartley, under the salary adjustment, okay, earlier you had $29,393. Is that the raises and cost of living and the salary?
No, that is just the salary adjustments related to the salary study. That 29 is for employees that are in the general fund. This is the amount for employees that are in the water and sewer fund.
Okay, okay.
And the
so this is in addition to that? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It is in addition to it, but it's kind of, you almost have to look at it fund by fund.
Yeah, okay.
And the increase is also because of the sewer rate increase with Carolina Beach as well, right?
Yes, okay. I'll get to that too. So.
Okay.
All right, so what I'll do next is move on to the water and sewer fund revenue. And as we would expect for this type of fund, that water and sewer charges are basically the bulk of the revenue for the fund, which is about 94% of the expected revenue. Also in 2016, there's budgeted for installment financing of $90,000 for a vehicle and some equipment. And there's a couple other smaller things, the tap and connection fees, and then also some other revenue items, pass-through fees and that type of thing. So I guess what I need to kind of step back to in regard to revenue is when I originally mentioned as part of the highlights the proposed changes to the rate structure. So I'd like to kind of spend a little bit of time talking about that and explaining that and even kind of explain why it's necessary, I guess. And that's really that currently the Water and Sewer Fund, the revenue there covers the day-to-day operating expenses and is accumulating some, but very little, I guess, for future infrastructure projects. And since the Water and Sewer Fund is considered an enterprise fund, which means it's really operated as a business, that the fund revenue, which in this case is the water and sewer charges, really needs to cover those operating costs, plus build that reserve for future capital projects. So keeping those things in mind, we'll move on to the next slide, which is to talk about what are these rate changes. So the first item would be to reduce the monthly minimum number of gallons from the current level of 3,000 gallons to 2,500 gallons. The second part would be to leave the monthly minimum rate unchanged. In regard to dollar amount, the change is that now that gets you 2,500 gallons versus 3,000 gallons. Then the third part is to actually change the rates for once you exceed the minimum, which is the now 2,500 gallon minimum. And as you see there, you know, all the rates are increased for residential, commercial, out of town for both water and sewer, and it's approximately a 25% increase in those incremental rates. And those rates are per 100 gallons for usage above the 2,500 gallon minimum. So, I don't know if anyone has any questions on that.
Yes, I just appreciate the review, right? So, this was one we talked a lot about during the finance meetings. And really, the strategy kind of stays with the strategy that we've adopted with our rate structure. We're really trying to encourage conservation. As we do our rate structure, I think it's important for us to continue to focus on that. And I think this does it in two ways. And we talk a lot about the rate structure for the people that are here. So kind of from my standpoint, my household is probably a high user because I have college kids coming in every weekend with my family. My grandfather's the other side of it, right? A retiree who probably never ever uses the minimum. And so I wanted the people that are users like me to have to either control their usage or pay for it, and the people like my grandfather that are retirees on fixed incomes to not get punished by changes in anything we do. So the staff did a good job of talking about options to council, and one of the options was increasing the minimum rate. Another one was putting it all on the usage rate, and then we arrived at this blended option. So the people that are impacted are the users. And I think that's where our structure should be. So I appreciate council and staff for working through that. I know, as Nancy will tell me, she'll get the most grief at town hall with the stuff. And I think we probably should put out a message through the Gazette on this issue so that we help you a little bit. But I think it's exactly where we should be on this issue.
And what I've done to kind of help, I guess, show the impact, I guess, of the these changes is really some examples for a residential customer. That's what I focus on. And I did it at four different usage levels.
Yep.
So the first one, if you have someone that uses 2,500 gallons or less in a month, they will see no increase at all
right.
in their monthly bills.
And that's our fixed income retirees to the council.
If you have someone that uses 3,000 gallons, what they're going to see is an increase of $5.15 or about 13.9% over the bill.
And that's probably our typical small families, not mine. Right?
Yeah, we've got a house full.
But then we'll go to my house next.
And
then the rentals are the next one.
I'm going to get that out to the gallon.
You're telling David.
Right.
It also, you know, again, you see, you go up 4,000 gallons, the increase is $7.20 and about 15.9%. And up to 5,000 gallons, an increase of $9.25 or 17.3%. And as you go up, you know, that,
right.
of course, it's going to, the increase is going to be more significant. But as you said, it shifts the cost of this on the use to more of the user.
Right. And the other thing I appreciate council on this one is for the rental properties that are packing people in, the costs are going where they should, right? So if they're going to those 10 people in the house that are taking five showers because they go to the beach three times a day in the summer, right? So, I mean, I think that's the right way to approach this type of issue. It's on usage. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the council.
Do you have a question from the floor?
Sure.
As part of that discussion on this new strategy, did you discuss the impact on homeowners associations where we're required to keep the grass green and we're not allowed to put in an artificial turf? So some of us are forced to use water that if we had a different way the homeowners association architectural landscaping working, we could actually participate in the conservation of water.
But that's not a town ordinance, is it?
No.
But, you know.
So you're not
So we did directly. So the council, there are two other ways to water, right? There are actually more than two, but two other ways. You can put in a shallow water well. Now you have to pay someone because the state of North Carolina changed it. The fire department used to do that for homeowners, and we stopped doing it when they required you to have a license to do it. We also talked about, and the town has an ordinance for putting in a second water meter, but it's very expensive, and the town did that on purpose because we didn't want treated water used for watering, right? So the second, that's another option, but it's a pretty expensive option. So we did during this discussion. We didn't.
Yeah, because, you know, your landscaping is luxury, not a necessity. So.
That's what we raised at that time.
There's a stored runoff option, too.
True.
Yeah. But no, we didn't talk about that, so no, we don't. I'm not in the homeowners association.
You don't want your yard anyway.
Never will be. That's right, I don't want to be in our yard.
Go ahead, Arlen.
So does anybody have any other questions about these proposed changes?
Thanks, Hazel.
Nope.
Good work. And Sonny appreciates this recommendation as well, because it reduces, it is the most likely to reduce people's usage. I don't know how much it really will, but it's the most likely. Our water is still very inexpensive.
I also, I have something that I didn't know.
I hate to say this to you on that stove. You can't even drink.
I drink every day.
It's beginning.
Okay.
But the finance, environmental finance group from UNC Chapel Hill School of Government has a dashboard out there where you can plug rates in. And I did that, and I should have gotten it that I could put it up here, but you know, it shows where Curie Beach is in relation to other towns within the state, that you can compare it in multiple ways. We're way on the affordable end of the scale in regard to what is charged for water and sewer here. And doing some of these changes still keeps us on the affordable side of the scale. But as David said, it helps in the conservation assessment that they do also by increasing the rates for usage above the minimum. So next I just wanted to show revenue source for the budget is for fiscal year 16 in relation to 2014 and 2015. And again, it shows somewhat consistency, especially water and sewer charges. And the reason that 2016 has increased is because of the proposed rate changes we just spoke about. And the big difference in other revenue from fiscal year 2014 is we received a significant refund from Carolina Beach. We got some treatment facility charges, which was around $400,000.
And the connection fees, is that because we are having less construction?
Yeah.
Since it's almost half.
Yeah, that I work with John, I guess, with coming up. And it's been fairly high the last 2 years. And he felt with, you know, because if it's a house that's being, I guess, torn down and it's something else built, there's not a new connection fee. So it has to be new construction to have that. So as that starts to become less and less, what's happening in the building activity, we're going to see less and less in connection fees.
And John is conservative in his projections.
Right. Yeah. And our connection fees, are we study those and make sure that we're covering the cost of.
Yeah, we did, right. And you know, something we may want to look at some point in time, but right now we're okay with it.
Sunny feels like they're okay.
There's no other questions about water and sewer revenue. We'll move on to the expense side of the water and sewer fund. And as we would expect, the largest component of the expenses is the operations, which is the Public Works Department. So they're part of the Water and Sewer Fund. We also have the next largest is administration at 14%, finance at 9%, and then the lesser legal governing body, and then there's the transfer to the Capital Projects Fund that I mentioned before that represents 3%. And those percentages are very consistent from year to year. So that's why I'll show that, which shows the expenses by department for budgeting for 2016, the actual for 14, and estimated for 15. And you see that most are very consistent. Earlier I've spoken about the splitting apart of finance and administration, so that's why you see some fluctuation there for 2016. And in regard to operations, it's really the amount of capital projects. And then also, as David mentioned before, a while ago, is we had an increase in the rates that we pay to Carolina Beach for use of their treatment facility that were implemented 2 months ago. So that'll carry forward into next year, which is also driving up some of our costs for the water and sewer fund.
Which you have to shut down.
Yeah, we'll call that.
Well, plans that.
We'll yes. Again. So with that, are there any questions before we move on to the next one regarding water and sewer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Timer. So then next we'll move on to the stormwater fund, and I'll just cover the highlights from that storm, from that fund, which is no change to the stormwater fees. But this fund does have debt service of about $88,700. A new thing this year is there's a very significant infrastructure project in the Curie Beach Village area that's going to start in fiscal year 2016. It'll be a multi-year project. To start the project off, there will be a transfer from the stormwater fund of approximately $275,000 to a stormwater capital projects fund. This fund, as we spoke to the other funds, includes some salary adjustments from the salary study of $1,658. And when you look at this budget for the stormwater fund in relation to last year, I mean, it's up significantly, and it really is from number three there, which is the transfer of $275,000 to the capital projects fund. So if we look at the revenue, fairly consistent except for, you can see a huge amount, 48% for fund balance appropriated, and that's really the primary funding source for the transfer of funds to the capital project fund. Other than that, stormwater fees, stormwater building fees, interest income are consistent with prior years. Well, there used to be a slide there, but
you don't want to see it, huh?
That really just shows how consistent it is, because the largest revenue, it's like, well, it was there before, but the largest revenue source, which is the fees that everybody pays, stormwater fees, are almost exactly the same every year. And then builder stormwater fees really relate to the amount of building activity within the town. And then finally, the big difference is this appropriation of fund balance for the transfer. And even after we take that amount of money from the stormwater fund, there should still be well over $600,000 in that fund for other for future projects. So next we'll move on to the expense budget for the stormwater fund. And here, it looks a little different than it would in a normal year. Operations is at 26%, debt service at 18%. And the big difference is this transfer to capital projects, as we've already discussed. So that's a significant portion of the budget this year. So with that, is there any questions on the stormwater fund?
Where are the missing slides?
Nice job, Marla.
Did you erase the tape?
Oh, you're right. There it is.
There they are. Just got moved to the end.
So that's, that's the expenses, actually. So there's the comparison of expenses from year to year, and that's where you do see the big difference for the capital projects. This slide summarizes the remaining four funds. I won't go into as much detail, but the smaller funds that we have. The first one being the PAL bill fund, which is money that we receive from the Department of Transportation. It's restricted use money, which means we can only use it for street-related maintenance, construction, repairs, that type of thing. And it's estimated we'd get about $64,000 this year in our allocations from the DOT. Is there any questions on PAL?
What kind of, didn't you have some questions as to how much you're going to get from this compared to years in the past? Or
well, if there's going to be an impact because they cap the gas tax,
yeah,
it's not going to be in this upcoming year, it'll be the year after.
Okay.
That.
So.
They're also thinking about finding another way to pay for that. So that's not a definite yet, but yes, it is a possibility that it would decrease.
The next fund is the Beach Protection Fund, and that was a fund that was set up a couple years ago for future beach-related needs. And it could be beach nourishment, it could be beach access improvement or repairs, dune maintenance, whatever, anything beach-related. So what we've been using as a funding source up to this point is a transfer from the general fund, and this year we'll be transferring $50,000. In the past 2 years, we've transferred a total of $199,000. So any questions about Beach Protection Fund?
Yep.
The next is the Federal Asset Forfeiture Fund. This also is restricted use money. It comes about by the police department participating in investigations conducted by federal agencies. And then based on the amount of resources we provide and the outcome of the investigation, we share in these forfeited assets. This money can only be used for by the police department and only for things outside of their normal operating budget. So for fiscal year 16, estimating that they'll use about $50,000, and that will be from the fund balance, appropriated from the fund balance. And then the last fund is the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund, or SERF, and that's really for future sewer projects. And the source of that is new construction, and it's a user fee of $2,500. And can work with John on, developing that budget, the estimated revenue. And this upcoming year, estimated to be about $22,500. And then a little bit of interest income on some CDs that we have related to that fund. So are there any questions regarding the SERF fund? So I guess then in summary, I think the 2016 budget reflects a thorough review of expenditures and conservative estimates of revenue. I think it supports the goals established by town council and reflects service priorities and the town's needs. I guess also with all the department heads and other town employees that spend a lot of time putting all this together. It's not a simple thing to do, as we all know. And I guess with that, I'll take any other questions or if there's any clarification that anybody needs on anything.
No, excellent job.
Thank you, Arlen.
Thanks very much, Earl. Nice job.
Oh, Nancy has some.
You're in trouble now, Arlen.
Yeah, there needs to be a motion to accept the proposed budget and direct the clerk to advertise for public hearing inspections on your agenda.
I make a motion to accept the budget as presented and to post and advertise the budget review session as scheduled.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I think so.
Got 2 seconds. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Fire department, police department, public works department. We'll take a 10-minute break.
I'll say that. I looked in there, went in there.
Discussion and consideration of old business. Adopt 2015 emergency operations plan.
Yep, that's me. So I don't have any recommendations for this year's plan. Request the council adopt it as last year's plan. The hazard mitigation for the county is meeting. They've had one meeting, and I'll send you updates once they send it out next week. That will not impact our plan directly, but just so you guys are aware of the hazard mitigation plan. But I make a motion we adopt the 2015 emergency operations plan in place for the season.
I second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And then I would like to request council's permission to have the citizen training classes on June 3rd, Wednesday at 5 p.m., and June 6th, which is Saturday at 10 a.m. in Town Hall, and have the town clerk advertise them for our hurricane communications meetings, and I'll do those.
So I have a motion.
That's my motion.
Yeah, what's your motion?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Does John have all his people in place this year?
I have not talked with him yet, but I'll confirm that.
Okay. ROT rollover. As everybody knows, last time that we decided to keep 10% of the rollover funds, we're going to put it to a vote. This time with our meeting of the ROT folks, we decided to take 8% of the rollover funds, and I think it will pass. So we can save the 8% rollover funds for 5 years. We won't be able to save anything after that. But we'll use these funds for an emergency, a catastrophic storm, or a downturn in the economy.
Okay. And so will they incorporate that in the plan that they're going to present next month, so then the marketing committee knows that, or do we know yet?
They know it, but they already have an emergency plan in place that's very thick, very detailed. And if I'm not mistaken, they even have money set aside for it. But we'll be glad to ask them to touch on that at next month's meeting.
Well, they don't have enough money set aside. We haven't used rollover funds for this before, so we want to make sure that we're covered.
So at the meeting that you were at, Dean, had the staff understand that, so they're going to incorporate it, we're going to be in the
we've had several discussions, actually, with the ROT folks, and Bill was there, Sappho, Jonathan Barfield was there. We had two representatives from the board there, and we came up with the 8% savings, so that I think that the board sees the merit in this. So like I said, we're going to have a vote on this the next time we have a meeting, and we'll see where it goes. But we have done our homework, so I think it's going to be okay.
Do you know when that is? Is that before
the next meeting of the
TDA?
TDA.
May 21st.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So then they should give the message before they bring the budget to us. Okay, that's all I'm asking, right?
Okay. 17.5% of the County Beach Renourishment Fund. As you know, and as we voted on the last time or gave you permission to pursue this, we are trying to do away with this. It's come around and it's outlived its usefulness. It was an emergency proclamation that was put in place by the Beach Towns 5 years ago. It says that it's the 5 years is a limit. We have 180 days that we have to give a permit, but we have to agree that we're not going to pursue it anymore. And with your permission, I will have more discussions with Brother Barfield about this. We brought it up at the Ports and Waterway, and I'll turn it over to Craig.
Right. At Ports and Waterway, we had a significant discussion. Dan Wilcox and Mayor Lambeth, of course, had the lead on the discussion with all the folks involved in participating in developing a way to come up with additional funding and getting the county more engaged in providing funding for our beach nourishment projects. Part of that discussion then did turn to the interlocal beach nourishment agreement, which Dean has referenced here. There's been a 180-day notice provided, and this expires on June 30th of this year. The Inlet Ports and Waterway Committee has asked us to consider extending this for 6 months. Now, if we extend for 6 months, it takes us into the payment period for our next renourishment. It would take us into December. The next renourishment will start in approximately mid-November. Nourishment does not start until the money is in the bucket. Under Section 3 of cost sharing for the core managed projects or projects implemented under the Master Nourishment Plan, It says that the room occupancy tax will pay any shortfall in funding up to 82.5% of total project costs. That is if the federal and state funds are not provided. In the case of the current nourishment activity that will be coming up on 2016, we have the federal dollars, we have half of the state dollars. The other half of the state dollars are in the governor's budget. The budget, of course, will not be approved before we have to make a decision on this. However, in discussing this with Layton, he said that the ROT would pay up to 82.5% if there was no funding. Since there is funding, an extension would not cost the town any additional money. In other words, if the $350,000 shortfall that is currently not approved in the state budget and is not in our pocket, that would be covered by the interlocal agreement and by the ROT. What we have to determine is, I'll backtrack one moment. I then ask if we extend, would they guarantee that at the end of the extension that they would come up with a plan that they would support going forward with to the legislature? Whether it be use tax or whatever it is, and they said, well, they can't guarantee that, they might just ask for another extension.
No, yeah.
So given that, this extension is an important one. It takes us into the nourishment period. The next nourishment period wouldn't be for 3 years after that, which would be December 2018. So we need to decide if we want to extend this agreement or not. I know particularly how I feel. I would treat it, but I think each of you need to make your own decision.
So would you like to make a motion to extend the 6 months?
Let's have discussion.
So we could vote at the June meeting, or we need to vote at this meeting?
They really wanted to know at the next Ports and Waterway meeting, but right. I think we should pass this out to you, let you read this, right? And then we'll vote. So I would move we table this, that we table an ILA extension until our next council meeting.
I'll make a motion to table until our next council meeting,
You making that motion?
Yes.
I second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
So the next one question, and so I'm fine with tabling, but at the next Ports Waterway meeting, do you want a sense of where we are or no? Because when's that meeting?
That meeting is the second Tuesday.
In June.
Now, I think...
So that's the 9th.
I kind of already told them that we weren't probably going to support an extension. And the only reason I say that, I do have to talk to our town attorney. The way that section is written, it can be interpreted as they'll pay up to 82.5%, and then we pay 17%, or they'll pay up to 82.5% plus what is given by the state. It is not clear. And Andy, right. I'll ask your interpretation of that, Section 3. And depending on how it comes out of your review is how I'm going to support it or not. So I'll ask Andy to look at it and give you his comments.
That's okay.
It's
okay?
A very confusing section, and you can interpret it in different ways.
This agreement was an emergency agreement, that was signed to get us out of a bind.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I mean, let's be fair. The county has came through for all three beaches every time, right? So I hear what you guys are saying, but they have paid every time. Yes, they have.
They've paid ROT funds.
Fine,
the
wherever the money came from.
Never
okay.
Put a penny in there.
But the three towns have not had to pay for any of the beach renourishments from their general funds. And so I understand Dean's point, but let's not wrap ourselves around they're going to hose us when they have not, right? I'm not saying we shouldn't hold them to the fire, but I'm saying don't get crazy about it either, right? Because in the end, we're all in this together, right? And so we got to work this where, when they're not on our side, we got to push them on our side, but you don't beat the guy that's helping you all the time. That's not the right way to go. Right, so I think we gotta consider this very very thoughtfully about what this really means, right? Because I don't think that interlocal agreement really matters for any of the funding outside the county, right? We're sort of all within the, in ourselves talking about this, right?
Right.
And all right or not, I mean, I'm asking, but I think that's what I understand.
Well, yes, we do talk. We did talk about this in ourselves because we did not know where the funding was coming from for the previous.
Right.
The thing that I'm concerned about here is the extension they're asking for. I think it can be interpreted that if there's a $350,000 shortfall, we have to pay for it. Or,
well, I'm interested in Andy's assessment of that, right?
So that,
okay.
And I know legally the person who creates the ambiguity is usually judged against that individual, but I think we need to understand what it's going to mean to the
other thing is, I don't think the county, if there was a $350,000 shortfall, just like there's been in the past, when they have a $30 million bucket of money that they could say, hey, towns, you got to pay for it. I think they could say, hey, Curie Beach, you put $199,000 in beach renourishment, you should pay some of it. And they could reasonably do that, and that, okay. But I don't think they could say, no, you guys got to come up with money you don't even have. Well, when we've got a $30 million and bucket of money that's set for that.
In discussions that we've had, and Emily and Craig can both tell you this, when we go to Raleigh or go to Washington, the first thing that our representative asks us is, what is the county doing to help you?
Yeah,
the county's not doing anything to help us. All they do is pocket the money, which is not theirs to begin with, and we have to beg to get it.
They're using our money to pay for it. The county has never put one single dime into it.
I understand, and they shouldn't have, because 30 years ago, we smartly built a fund to build this money up. No one's put any money in there at all but the room occupancy tax.
Right.
All the sand on all the beaches for all the time has been paid for out of that money. All of it. None's came from Curie Beach, none's came from the county, none's came from Carolina Beach, none's came from Riceville Beach.
Carolina's switched $200,000 over for us, but...
Well, a little bit of semantics there, right? The federal government paid for 65% of it.
Right.
The state paid for a portion of it. And ROT,
right,
portion that was generated by the locality that paid the difference.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay. You're right. That's my point, right?
Right.
And so I'm not saying I don't know where I am on this one. I just don't want us to push ourselves into us against them when we shouldn't be there totally.
Well, we don't need to poke anybody in the eye.
Right. That's my point, right?
So, and I don't think that's our intention. No. This document right here allows them to force us to pay for something we don't have the money for.
It's allowed them to do that the whole time.
I know, but it's...
That's what I'm saying, and they haven't done it.
And it's time for this to expire.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm just saying that as we come into this one, is the time to do it right before beach renourishment or right after when there's 3 years to work it out? That's all I'm saying, right? Because if there isn't one, then what happens? If we say it expires, and now we have until October, what happens? In those 3 months when everyone's posturing and people are trying to get elected and doing stupid stuff, what happens, right? When suddenly someone says, well, there's a shortfall, where does it come from now? There's no interlocal agreement. That doesn't seem very smart to me, right? To go into the season without an interlocal agreement because we let it expire, as opposed to the one that we think is they could hose us with. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what they want to do is set up an interlocal agreement, but reduce the cost.
Okay.
And if we give them a 6-month extension,
who's doing the work on that?
Let's deal with the implication here. And this is where I am on this thing. Is we've had 4 years to come to some type of an agreement to make this unnecessary. We have been unable, though we've been at meetings for the last 2 years, to accomplish that.
Right.
That doesn't say it's not impossible.
Right.
That's point number one. Point number two is, if we do agree on something, whether it be a user tax, whether it be a change in the ROT, whether it be a change in our percentages, it's going to require not only county support, it's going to require legislative action in Raleigh to get it done. Legislative action in Raleigh can only occur during the long period,
right?
During the long session, we only have a few long sessions. I would like, if we do go forward with this thing, I would like to hear the county officials say, we will do everything we can to come up with a plan or three or four directions that we will pursue as an organization and a group for the benefit of the county, the entire county, and get something done and get some legislation. Because right now, after 4 years and 2 years of effort, we have nothing.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the only implication I have here. And if we do extend it, and we do have 3 years, I do not want to let them relax. I'm going to be on them.
You know, I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. I'm just saying that if we don't sign it, are we going to go into a beach renourishment without an agreement? And if we do, how risky is that? That's my concern. Because
yes,
I don't think we will get an agreement, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay.
That's the issue for me is, okay, I hear you guys about the risk, but what's the risk of not having an agreement going into a beach renourishment? When there's a shortfall, what happens then?
The only thing that I could say is this has been the only agreement, and there's only been one nourishment in this agreement, and every nourishment before this happened without an agreement.
Okay.
So
that just because federal money wasn't there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's fair. I think. So it's on our next meeting.
Yeah.
Do you want a sense of where we are before the 9th or not?
I don't think so. I'll tell them, you know, it's under review, and we've discussed it, and we'll give them a response before it expires.
Well, a six-month extension is one thing, but if we give them more than 6 months, no, they're going to start dragging their feet.
No, I agree. I 100% agree with that. So, you know.
I'd like to get something for that 6 months. Something for...
So you're going to give us copies?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll get you copies of this.
Okay, thanks. I just want to read it and understand.
Yeah. Thank you. It's kind of simple, but
yes. Yeah, I've read it before. I just want to reread it because I don't like being not having any
discussion and consideration of new business. I've got state bond on here now. All you received a copy of this from the governor's.
It's in the agenda.
Yeah. And I personally feel that it's a little bloated. It was originally supposed to be for the streets and roads and all that, bridges, but it's like $3 million in there for a streetscape at one town. But
billion bond.
They wanted us to look at it, agree to wholeheartedly pass this thing, but I just don't think so.
Yeah.
Hey.
While I was in Raleigh Wednesday for lobby day with the League of Municipalities, I talked to a couple of legislators and the league staff about this, and the one positive thing that came out of it was that this is a good time to borrow money because interest rates are so low. However, what this bond referendum means is that we'll be borrowing almost the maximum amount that the state is allowed to borrow. So if we come up with some emergencies in the next 3 years where we're required or really pushed to borrow additional money, we may not be able to do it, or it could hurt our bond rating. In addition to that, there is no plan in here anywhere that tells you how we're going to pay this back. It says taxes will not be raised to pay for it, but you think about it. If you're going to buy a house or a car, the first thing you think about and talk about with your family is how are you going to make those mortgage payments and those loan payments. There is nothing anywhere to show how this is going to be paid back. Also, there hasn't been a lot of, well, maybe they did a lot of research on how these areas were selected, but it was pointed out to me by one legislator that even though the rural areas desperately need transportation improvements, that some of the lowest MPO projects on the list for the state are in this bond referendum. Not the ones that are needed the most. And also, if you look at the decision here, and as Dean pointed out, some real fluff in there. Mm. And you look at the decision, you look at that map of North Carolina, it covers almost every area in the state. And whether they need it or not, and you've got to think hard and long, why would that be done and pushed through in this election in the fall, even though the counties, a lot of counties are going to have to pay a lot of extra money to hold this bond referendum, rather than waiting till the spring, and whose political campaign would that benefit? And one last addition on the fluff. The only reason why I would support this is because of our port. We always need money to help improve our port. But there's over $11 million in here to build a visitor's center for the battleship. And first of all, they're raising their own money to do that. But you look at landfall. You've got houses in there that are $3, $4, and $5 million that are better than anything we could ever have as a visitor center. Why in the world would it cost $11 million to build a visitor center? So I'll have to go along with Dean on this one. Except for the port, I just don't think I can
support this. Well, I mean, I would support it if it was for the highways and the port, right. But I can't support this, so that's my thoughts. Corncake Inlet, speaking of ports.
Well, are there any other, anybody agree with you or somebody want to make
I'm
a
with both
to
you guys, right? So as I look through this,
it's crazy.
It seems like there's a couple million dollars for everybody in the state.
They want to
I guess they're going to put it on as a statewide referendum, right? So they're just looking
they're
for us.
They're thinking about it.
To say, yeah, we should put it on. I don't think they should, but no. They'll do whatever they do. I'll vote for it.
Yeah.
Wow. $2.82 billion. Nice.
Yeah.
You got three good opinions.
Corncake Inlet. Now, Ms. Swearingen.
Yes, sir.
You had some questions about Corncake Inlet and the removing two of the rock jetties, let the tide ebb and flow and all that stuff. What our senator is doing with the Corncake Inlet, he has to do this to get the environmentalists to check it. When they check it and say, it's been fine, it's worked fine since the 1800s, then he's going to turn around and say, well, then let's put one at Morehead City to protect the port. So that's exactly what it's for.
So what is it?
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Because I had some local people tell me they were responsible for this. And I don't think they know anything about
it. No, they don't know. So, Corncake Inlet down here.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, well, they were going to take two sections of the rocks out to let the water go back and forth, which would shovel up the river almost immediately.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to let them do that, but to get the environmentalist on board, he's going to check that whole thing. And when they say,
please check it, what does that mean?
That it's not moved, that it's kept the bays back where they should be. So anyway, he's going to.
And it wasn't the 1800s, just so you know. That was a WPA project.
Yeah.
I thought it was in the 1800s.
I don't
know. It's a WPA project.
Not according to Skip and Winner, and I don't know anybody as old as he
is.
It's
a WPA project. It's got a sign on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, Skip.
He doesn't. He's not
helping with
anyway,
it.
Anyway, that's fine. Okay.
We're removing it. So that was what the deal was.
Well, we keep rescuing people, although it'd be nice if they removed it. But
they let all that stuff come into the river.
Yep.
Anyway, all right. Okay. Report on North Carolina League of Municipalities tax and finance legislation.
Okay. Yes, I again went to the lobby days on Wednesday as a member of the tax and finance legislative action committee of the league. And it was really very interesting. This particular committee was divided into two groups, and we went to see different legislators. My group was able to visit Representative Lewis's office, who is chairman of the House Rules Committee, and we had the policy advisor for Phil Berger. And we visited Representative Paul Tyne, who's from the northeastern part of the state. And let's see, Jason Soper, who's the policy advisor for Speaker Moore, and then the last one, Susan Martin, I did not have an opportunity to visit. But I did want to pass on to you some of the information that came out of this, and I'll have Nancy make you a copy of three of the pages that they gave us. But meanwhile, I would like to tell you the main thing we were there to talk about was the sales tax redistribution. Mm. And as some of you know, Senator Bob Rucho, I believe you pronounce his name, has a Senate Bill 608 that would repeal some of the local, would repeal $2.2 billion in the local sales tax and make it a state revenue. And one thing municipalities should be concerned about is that once it becomes a state revenue and it goes in the general fund in the future, we would have even less control over how much of the money the state could keep. Okay? Let's see, one of the things that they talked about was the counties having the authority for an additional quarter cent sales tax, one fourth of 1 cent for the counties, but it would not be shared with local cities. And that's also a concern because more and more and more of it would go to other people and would not go to us. We were told that most of the House members are not interested in pursuing this bill, but the ones that we visited said they, while they don't agree with it at all, they feel very strongly that some type of bill that's of 369, some type of that particular bill will be passed by the legislature this year. And let's see, one of the options that they're considering in all of this is for the municipalities to keep every year the amount of sales tax that they received in fiscal year 2014. And then whatever we collected over that would go to the counties. I don't think the rural representatives are in favor of that because that would be such a small amount coming to them and spread throughout the state that that would almost defeat its purpose. Also, one of the issues that came up because Deborah Mack, the finance officer from Wilmington, was there, and she was asking about the home harmless amount. Now, Arlen and I talked about this, but I didn't ask you. The $88,000 we receive in home hold harmless, sorry, I can't talk tonight, guys. Is that part of the $450,000-some? So it's included in that. It's not an additional. But it, so we would automatically lose that. There's no way that we could hold on to something that we were guaranteed in law years ago. Also, tax refunds for municipalities. They're not discussed at all in there, and so there's some question about whether or not we would still be able to collect our own refunds from taxes, and hopefully if it's not in there, it wouldn't affect it. And some of the other funding needs that we talked about was the one-fourth cent city tax that cities would be able, this is not what we're talking about, the counties on the sales tax thing, but it's House Bill 903, and we would be able to have an option for 1/4 cent city tax that we could approve by resolution, not by a referendum from our voters. And I think the league feels if that could be part of the budget bill, we might get it, but if it's sitting out there by itself, we may not be able to. Also, on the privilege license fee, they still haven't resolved that issue, but they're looking at the possibility of allowing municipalities to charge a license fee based on a tiered system, like $100 for any company that has a sales of $0 to $100,000, and then increase that up to $2,000 based on sales that go into millions of dollars. And I don't know that that's ever going to pass, but that's the main thing they're considering. Also, they have a bill to allow cities to charge less for residential properties than for commercial properties. And apparently the business lobby up there is not really in favor of commercial
people. You're talking about property taxes?
Yes, property taxes. And the business people who are lobbying up there are not in favor of that. Now, the other thing we talked about was in at least one, if not two counties, their county charges their municipalities for using 911. And there's a bill in there to prohibit this, not just on those counties, but prohibit it statewide so no other counties can come up and do this. And so we're definitely hoping that will pass. And that's mainly from Lincoln County. It's already passed the House. They're hoping it will pass the Senate. And the other one, I guess Dennis would care about more than anyone, is that they're talking about making 911 a regional system throughout the state and eventually have it located in Raleigh, where every 911 call would be dispensed to wherever it is in the state. Talk about a bureaucratic nightmare. So hopefully that will not go anywhere.
Thanks, Emily. Sure. You want to tell us about the library being moved across the street?
Yeah, I hope most of you read about that in the Island Gazette. I just found out about 10 days ago that our county manager, at the request of our library executive director, actually did put money in the budget, and I don't know the amount right now until the budget is passed, to move our Island Library to the old place where you could rent videotapes next to Dollar General, okay? They'd have over 4,000 square feet. It'll be completely renovated and new furniture and hopefully lots of books and videotapes and books on CD and everything. I have never seen so many people on the island so excited about anything since seismic testing last year.
That's it.
But the reason why I asked to get on the county board, library board to begin with, is because we have one of the worst libraries in the world, and it's been there since the 1950s, and it needs to be replaced. Now, whether this is a temporary thing so we can build a new one where the old library is, or people really like it so much it stays there, we'll just have to see over the next couple of years. But I really have to thank Harry Tuckmeyer for getting Chris to put that in the budget.
Well, Chris has dropped the county budget increase from 5% to 2%, so we'll see.
But that's still in the budget.
We'll see.
From what I understand, that's still in the budget. So,
ROT issues.
Okay. Our Planning and Zoning Committee has done a lot of work, as we all know, in looking at parking and other things. And one of the things that they came across is some of the deficiencies in the ROT enforcement. Now, ROT is a law we already have that generates money for SAND, but there is very little enforcement at the county level. By that, I mean participation is, I think, one individual. There's no indication of direct accounts as to who's paid what. And to tell you how critical that potential could be, I looked at three websites. One was Home Away. Curie Beach alone has 285 homes on HomeAway. On VRBO, Vacation Rental by Owner, we have 274 people on that website. And on Airbnb, we have 180 people advertising homes in their rooms in their home on that website. Now, I would assume that some of this is duplication and that some of the people are on a variety of sites. But if we just took the 180, there's 180 people out there who are charging people to stay. If you look at the average cost, the average or the range of costs are $120 a night to $1,400 a night on these sites. The sleeping conditions are from 4 to 16 per dwelling. Now, from my perspective, I think we need to find a way to ensure that either by resolution or some way, we need to get our county commissioners more excited about enforcement of an ROT, which is laws that is in place. Because I think that people who may not be participating as they should are actually creating an issue for the towns. If you think of the water and sewer rates that are paid by our hotels, if you think about the fact that they actually do pay their taxes, they are at a gross disadvantage from a competitive perspective because these people are not paying, potentially. I'm not accusing anyone, but we need to find out if there are gaps in enforcement. And I, for one, unless you people tell me not to, plan to continue to work with PMZ on this and continue to push it forward with the county commissioners if I can.
So you want to a resolution pertaining to this tonight?
I think I would like to have, I want to work a little more with PMZ.
Okay.
And I want to come up with the information.
Yeah, we don't need a resolution.
No, we don't.
You work with PNZ.
So, I want to work with PNZ, and we'll come up with some more detail because they've done a lot of fine work on this. And Craig Galbraith, in particular, actually interviewed the man who does the enforcement. So, we'll get some more information. If we have enough information for a resolution to go to the county commissioners, then I'll come back with that.
Can we possibly do this next month?
Well, we have a meeting, and I think we'll talk about
it. We need to get on with it.
Yeah.
I think the consensus, everyone's very supportive of what you're doing.
Right.
I think what we need to do is figure out what homes are being used as rental and verify that they're paying their proper share.
Right.
And so the issue, you said rooms, which is a little squirrely, I think, but I mean, the issue is there's short-term and long-term rentals. They're treated differently. Andy, I think you can agree with me on this. For any homes that are being short-term rental, whether they're using it through one of these sites or realtor agents or whatever, the county should be able to tell us the addresses that are paying room occupancy tax, and we should be able to verify them against any of these type sites. And if they're not, then we should work with the county to make that fixed, right?
Right.
I think that's, you know, if they're not going to put the proper resources, at least in our town, we can tell people we're going to make you pay what you're supposed to. That's all we want you to do, everyone to do what they're supposed to
well,
do.
Well, right? Another thing you found out was the...
So I'm very supportive.
About the Airbnb, I mean, what is it?
Airbnbs
that in some counties they are paying, you know, for the folks that use it.
In Airbnb,
they're collecting it.
Yeah, you pay Airbnb and they pay the owner. Airbnb is not going to collect ROT tax in Mecklenburg, Durham, Wake, and Baucom counties.
Right.
And if they're going to do that, I don't know why they wouldn't do it in Baltimore County.
Yeah, exactly right. I think once you guys have the data, you know, then we could tell the county, you guys are missing revenues that you should be collecting. Yeah. How can we help you?
Well, this was brought up at the Beach Waterway Association,
right.
So this is what led to all this. So.
And I think we should share it with Carolina and Riceville Beach, whatever you guys find, that they do the same thing.
So,
yeah. Because I think definitely we want them to pay if they should be.
One thing that we have found out, and Mr. Blazinski does know, is the county cannot tell you.
Well, they got to fix that, right? So
what locations there are. Even the rental agencies that collect some money collect it as a monthly total and send it in from company?
Yeah, we talked about that. And I think that's part of the issue is we tell the tax assessor, the tax official, whatever he's called, whoever the head of the tax department is, right?
Yeah.
That you've got to fix your process because it's unaudible. That's retarded, right? And, you know, he can either fix it or, fortunately, he gets reelected too, right? So he can get booted out. But, I mean, I think we go with the data and we make sure Carolina and Rice will beat you doing the same thing. And then we tell them, you guys have to tell these realtors to do it by property because that's crazy. I mean, that's unaudible. That just doesn't make sense to me. And once you start putting pressure on weenies like that, they fix it because they have to.
Let me tell you, this also came up in the marketing committee this past month because it's not just B&B. It's some of the other sites that deal more than those that deal with hotels and motels that also are not collecting ROT tax, and it either doesn't get paid or the owner of the hotel ends up having to pay it. And I could see, you know, this coming year we may have to get our legislator to put a bill in to help correct some of this.
There's other sites.
There's several. Oh, and you can talk to Ann. She's the one that brought it up. That there are several sites on the internet that do not charge for ROT, do not collect it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's a tax enforcement issue. If the tax assessor lets people slide.
But it's not just a local issue, it's a statewide, national, but it's a statewide issue that there should be some solution to statewide.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, we now have a closed session regarding personnel per GS 143-318-1186.
Make a motion to go into closed session.
Now, second.
Second, someone?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Do I have a motion to come out of closed session?
Make a motion to return to open session.
Second. All in favor, say to my saying aye.
Aye.
Nothing was decided in the closed session. Thank you. Do I have a...
Make a motion to close the meeting.
Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy.
What time is it?
Yeah, it's almost 9 o'clock.
Maybe we'll get there open past 9 o'clock this time of year, aren't they?
She said...